on this feast of Christ the King, I would like to present to you, if you will, a kind of sacred drama in three acts. Now, the title of the drama is "You Are Free to Choose, But You Are Not Free Not to Choose." That should be repeated. It's a little complicated. You are free to choose, but you are not free not to choose. In other words, brothers and sisters, we have a choice to make. We can't avoid the choice. We are free to choose what that choice will be, but we are not free to say, "I will not choose." You don't just dumb luck your way into heaven. You don't just get there by accident. And so it is today, a sacred drama. Who are the dramatis personae? Who are the cast of characters in this sacred drama? It is Pontius Pilate and it is Jesus Christ. But if you're willing to accept it, it's you and Jesus Christ. It's me, standing in the need of prayer. The first act of this sacred drama is indecision. Indecision. I'm going to broaden the text a little bit from what we read today in the gospel, but perhaps you remember the basic fundamentals of the trial of Jesus before Pontius Pilate. And it's really actually pretty comical at one level the way Pilate is portrayed. He is portrayed as incredibly indecisive. He vacillates back and forth, in and out, in and out. And the way it's presented in the gospel is that Pontius Pilate goes in and out of the praetorium. Now, the praetorium was the palace in which the governor, Pilate, lived in Jerusalem. Now, those of you who went with me and those of us who went together to the Holy Land, there's a pavement outside the palace. And these days, it's underneath a building. It's been excavated, and you can actually stand on the pavement stones that Jesus would have stood on himself as Pilate had a discussion with him. And as Pilate took the bema, he took the judge's bench, and he sat it down on the pavement called Gabbatha. And those of us who went to the Holy Land stood on those very stones in the pavement of the paving stones in the basement of that convent in the city of Jerusalem. Now, what's fascinating is, and what's really quite funny, is that Pilate goes in and out of the praetorium 7 times. He's out to talk to the Jews. He's in to talk to Jesus. Back out to talk to the Jews. In to talk to Jesus. Back out. Back in. Back out. Back in. And finally, back out. Do you see some vacillating going on? It says here that the Jews brought him from the high priest. They brought Jesus to Pilate, and it said, so Pilate went out to them. And he said, "What charges do you bring against this man?" And they made their charges plain. Pilate says, "All this talk about your religious stuff doesn't bother me. What's this got to do with me?" He says, "He calls himself a king." "Oh, he does." Now that is a threat to power. Someone sets him up as king, sets himself up as king. That's not good. So it says here, Pilate's outside. Now it says he went inside and had Jesus brought in. And he had a long inquiry with Jesus, some of which we read today. "Are you a king?" And Jesus asked him a question that we're going to get back to. "Are you saying this on your own, or have others been telling you about me?" Back and forth, Jesus goes with Pilate. It's a fascinating thing, brothers and sisters. Jesus is on trial for his life, but he turns the tables and he puts Pilate on trial, and he starts to ask Pilate questions. Pilate's befuddled by this. And so it says he went back out to the Jews. Here's number three. And he told them, I find no crime in him. But they began to threaten. They began to shout. They began to say, he must be put to death. There will be an uprising if you don't do it. So Pilate went back in. Number four. And had Jesus scourged. And again, on that very same pavement stone where many of us stood just a few weeks ago, Jesus was whipped. He was scourged. If Jesus had committed no crime, why did Pilate scourge him? Hello? Any thoughts on that? Now Pilate said, that'll satisfy the crowd. And he went back out. I'm starting to lose count. I think that's number four or five. And he said to them, I'm bringing him out to you so that you can see that I find no crime in him. But they shouted even louder, crucify him! And Pilate, when he heard these words, was afraid. And he went back in to the palace. And he spoke to Jesus. Don't you know that I have the power to put you to death? Why don't you speak to me? Give me something I can say to set you free. But Jesus said nothing. He'd already asked Pilate the question. Do you know that I'm a king? Pilate went back out. Number six. He said, what if I release Barabbas to you? You see, brothers and sisters, you begin to see Pilate, he doesn't want to have to make the decision. Are you a king? And Jesus says, what do you say, Pilate? Am I a king? Pilate doesn't want to make that decision. Maybe I can release Barabbas. Maybe I'll have him scourged. But just don't make me answer the question if you're a king. And so he's back out negotiating. I'll give you Barabbas. Just let him go. Brothers and sisters, Pilate's wife had warned him that she'd had a dream about an innocent man that was brought before him. And she said, have nothing to do with this innocent man. Pilate's trying to please his wife. He's trying to please the crowds. He's trying to please Jesus. He's trying to please himself. You cannot please all that list, brothers and sisters. You've got to please one person, and that is Jesus Christ. But Pilate doesn't want to make the decision. Pilate wants to vacillate. And so he goes out a last time and says, I'll give you Barabbas. And they said, we don't want Barabbas. Crucify Jesus. We want Barabbas to be set free, but crucify Jesus. Pilate went back in. And he brought Jesus out. He had brought out the judgment seat. And he sat on the judgment seat. Or did he? We'll see about that in a minute. He said, I find no crime in him. And they shouted all the louder, crucify him. Pilate said, crucify him yourselves. They said, if you do not do this, you are not the friend of Caesar. We will send word to Rome that you allowed someone who tried to usurp his throne. We will tell him that you tried to allow that king to live. And then Pilate was really afraid. And it simply says, at that, he handed Jesus over to be crucified. He did that, brothers and sisters, to protect his own skin, his own career. Had word gotten back to Rome that Pilate had allowed someone who claimed to be king to live, Pilate's career would be over. So in order to save his career and to save his own skin, he handed Jesus over. He made his decision. But brothers and sisters, the first thing I want you to see, the first act is indecision. Are you a king? Jesus says, are you saying this on your own or have others been telling you? I'm asking you, are you a king? And Jesus says, you have said it. Do you believe it? But Pilate doesn't want to make that decision. So he's in, he's out, he's out, he's in. He's trying to please his wife. He's trying to please Jesus. He's trying to please the crowd. But he does not want to decide. He is free to decide, but he is not free not to decide. Oh, that Pilate. What a weak man. But brothers and sisters, are you prepared to accept the possibility that there's something of Pilate in all of us? Don't we struggle in the same way? We want to please the boss, we want to please the wife, we want to please the children, we want to please God. We want our career, we want the world, we want the kingdom of heaven, we want all these different things. And the Lord said, you cannot serve God and money. No man can serve two masters. Either he'll be devoted to the one and hate the other. But you can't serve two masters. But we keep trying, don't we? A little of the world, a little of God. And so it is that we want to please others, we want to please God, but we can't do both. We have to decide. Brothers and sisters, you're free to choose who you will please, but you are not free not to choose. The first act in this drama is indecision. We keep wanting to fudge the thing, in and out, in and out. I'll run over here and do a little pleasing. I'll come back and please God. I'll do a little of both. I'll try to keep it all going. I'm like a juggler. I'm trying to keep all these balls up in the air. And so we're indecisive. We say we love God, but we do things that we know God would not have us do. We say that Jesus is our King, but we don't always obey Him. We say Jesus is my all and my all, but He's really only a little part. We say, I surrender all, when we really mean, I'll surrender some. I'm not saying it's true of all of us equally in this church. I'm just talking about the human condition. We're like this. We're like Pilate. We can laugh at Pilate going in, going out, going in, going out, 7 times. But in the end, brothers and sisters, it's us. We struggle. We make easy compromises with the world. And we're thinking, well, I'll just put off the decision to really give my all to Christ. I'll try to live a double life. I'll serve the world, I'll serve the Lord. Stage one, act one is finished. Indecision. I want to explore the question. The next act two is to focus in for a moment. We go from indecision to inquiry. As Jesus was brought before Pilate, he began with a question, are you a king? And Jesus had something very incredible to say to him. Pay attention to the nature of this question. He turns the table and he puts Pilate on trial. He asks, can you imagine a criminal with his hands tied behind his back? And the judge asks a question, and he says, let me ask you a question. No one takes my life from me, says Jesus. I lay it down freely. He is Lord, even when he's on trial for his life. He is king. He is Lord. Pilate says, are you a king? And Jesus says, are you saying this on your own, or have others been telling you about me? Now let that question sink in for a minute. Pilate has said the truth, or he's asking a truthful question. Is Jesus a king? And Jesus invites him to make the answer his own. In effect, he is saying to Pilate, you've heard that I'm a king. What do you think? Am I a king? Am I your king? Pilate, you've heard other people talk about me, but it's time for you, Pontius Pilate, to decide, who am I? Am I a king or not? There's an old gospel song that simply says, yes, I know Jesus for myself. Yes, I know Jesus for myself. You see, brothers and sisters, there's a tendency for us to live our faith by inference. Now, inference means that something must be so because somebody else said so. That's called inference. It's different than experience. Experience means I know it for myself. That's experience. But too many Christians are content to live their faith in an inferential way, an inference. Jesus is Lord because my mother said so. Jesus is King because my pastor said that today in church. I read it in the Bible. All of that is very precious, by the way. I'm mighty glad that my mother told me Jesus is Lord. Are you glad? Aren't you glad that somebody told you that he is King and he is Lord? Praise God. Aren't you glad that the Bible is very clear that he's King and he's Lord? That's all very good, but it's only a start, brothers and sisters. You can't just go on quoting somebody else. There comes a day when you have to stand up for yourself and say, Jesus is Lord, not just because my pastor said so, or my mother said so, or even because I read it in the Bible. Jesus is Lord and he is King because I know and I have accepted that he is the King and he is the Lord of my life. And I am now a first-hand witness. I'm not quoting somebody else now. I am telling you on my own experience and my own authority, Jesus is King. He is Lord. Jesus was inviting Pilate to start singing that old gospel hymn. Yes, I know Jesus for myself. Are you a king? And Jesus says, well, are you just quoting what other people have said, or do you know that I'm a king? Pilate, it's not about what they're saying. What about you? Now, too many people think that they are going to get to heaven because their grandmother believed. We get lots of requests for funerals and weddings and other services because my grandmother went there. Well, where are you going now? Well, you know how it is, Father. Yes, unfortunately, I do. You cannot park on somebody else's dime in the kingdom of God. You cannot borrow somebody else's oil for your lamp. You gotta have your own relationship with Jesus. You've got to know he's King. It's nice if we can quote the saints. I hope you memorize biblical verses. It's nice if we can do that. But brothers and sisters, there comes a moment in every Christian's life when we have to choose, when we have to go from inference to experience, to know for our very self that he is King and that he is Lord, and to make a decision that he is the King and the Lord of my life. And no one else can make that decision for you. You're not going to stand before God one day in judgment and say, look, I should be able to get into heaven because my great-grandmother believed in you and built the church. And my grandfather, with his own hands, put the stones on the wall. We hear stories like that all the time, amen? And I'm glad. There's another old gospel hymn that just comes to mind. It says, my mother taught me how to pray. My mother taught me how to pray. So if I die and my soul be lost, it's nobody's fault but mine. My mother taught me how to sing. My mother taught me how to moan in prayer. So if I die and my soul be lost, nobody's fault but mine. So, we've gone from indecision to inquiry. You're Pilate, I'm Pilate. We just shouted out this today in many different ways, musically and otherwise. I stood over at that chair and we heard the readings beautifully proclaimed from this pulpit that Jesus is King. And so now the Lord has a question. You've been saying I'm King. Are you saying this on your own? Or have others just been telling you about me? What is the basis of your claim that Christ is King? Is it simply what someone else said? Or are you able to stand up today and say, he is the King of my life? It is I who affirm it. It is I who say it. That is the inquiry. And that is Act 2 of this sacred drama. Again, the title of the drama, You are free to choose, but you are not free not to choose. We have a decision to make. We can go from being indecisive, but at some point the Lord says, stop. Listen to me now. You keep singing hymns. That's good. You keep quoting Bible verses, and that's even better. You're quoting the saints, you're quoting your mother. That's all very good. But let me ask you a direct question. Are you saying that I am the king on your own, or is it just that others are telling you about me? Do you know that I'm a king? Am I king? Now, brothers and sisters, a king, don't turn that into some abstraction. Let's make it plain what a king is. First of all, a king has authority. He's able to command, and his will is done. Is Jesus able to command me, you? And is his will done? Or do we say, well, I'll get around to it next Tuesday, if I feel right about it? Are we really listening to him teaching, or do we surround ourselves with other teachers who tickle our ears and who overrule Jesus? Is he really the king of my life? Does he have authority over my life? Am I really willing to obey him? Or do I say, I'll get around to it? Another thing that a king does is that a king protects, feeds, and defends his people. A king provides for his people. Now, we don't often think of a king that way. In America, anyway, our notion of king is simply that they have authority, they can command, and that's it. But in the ancient world, and even to this very day in many parts of the world, it was the understanding of the people that the king takes care of me. He provides for me. He provides protection. He provides a stable kingdom so that I can bring about food and go about my getting provisions for my family. A king takes care of me. So I ask you again, as I ask myself, are you willing to let the king take care of you? Will you allow the king to feed you? Now, thank God you're all here today. Praise God. In fact, I'm very happy about the numbers look a little up today. We had a bad October count. I'll tell you about that later. But so many people just neglect to come to this table and be fed by the Lord. So many people neglect to come to God's house and be fed with his word. I don't need the king to take care of me. I'll take care of it myself. Are you going to let a king takes care of his people? Are you going to let the Lord take care of you? Are you going to let him minister to you? How many of you know we need some food down here? How many of you know we need some medicine? We need some pastoral care from the good shepherd. And if he's really going to be the king of my life, I'm going to have to let him take over. I know so many of us are like going to the doctor. We resist that. We don't want the doctor to take care of us because we don't really want to know what's going on a lot of times. And so it is in our spiritual life too. Will you let the Lord take care of you? Teach you his word, feed you on his body and blood, forgive you your sins in the sacrament of confession? Will you let the Lord take care of you every day by speaking a word to you in your prayer with him and reading his word every day? A king also protects his people. Will you allow the Lord to bring you into the protection of his kingdom? There are walls around this kingdom. There are places that we have no business going. You know, people in the ancient world lived in cities with walls around them. And as long as they were inside the city, they were protected. But if they went outside the city, you never know. You just never know who's going to rob you, who's going to run up and kill you. You just never know. Are we willing to live inside the boundaries of God's kingdom? It's called, what are his walls? His walls are his commandments. His walls are his teachings. It's a pretty messed up world outside those walls. A lot of confusion, a lot of harm can be done to us spiritually. Will you let this king protect you with his rules, with his laws, with his limits? You know, every highway has guardrails. You do well to stay inside of them, amen? If you have a free spirit, you would drive off a ravine and off a cliff into your death. So it is, a king protects his people, a king takes care of his people, a king feeds his people, And a king commands his people. And if I'm going to say Jesus is king, it's not some abstraction. It has to be things like that in my life. And so again, the Lord simply makes this question. I hear you saying I'm a king. Are you saying this on your own? With all of the implications? Or are you just quoting what other people are saying? And the final stage of this drama, the final stage, is the inevitability of the choice. You are free to choose, but you are not free not to choose. In the end, even if you think you're not choosing, I got news for you, you're choosing. If you're thinking you're going to keep hedging it and just do a little of this and a little of that and a little tip of the hat to Jesus and a tip of the hat to the world, if you think you're going to go on not choosing, guess what? You're actually choosing. And so Pilate, in the third stage of this drama, he's been back and forth, in and out. 7 times he's been in and out now. And finally, they've threatened him to report him to the Roman emperor if he doesn't do what they want. And Pilate's had enough. And Pilate does something very interesting. He says, bring out the judge's bench. It was a portable bench, and it was sat on those pavement stones where some of us stood 3 weeks ago. And it was placed there. And he took, the bench is put out there, and the idea is that the judge would then take his seat and from the seated position would render the judgment. Now, what's interesting, though, in John's gospel is that it says here that Pilate had the judge's bench brought out and he had Jesus brought out and he took his seat on the judgment seat. Now, you think, that's pretty obvious, Pastor. The judgment seat has been brought out. He orders Jesus to be brought out, and he took his seat on the judgment seat. Who took the seat on the judgment seat? Who? It just says he. Now, you say, oh, come on, it means Pilate. And historically, that's probably what happened. But John, and the Holy Spirit writing through John, wants it to be ambiguous because he wants you to understand something. There comes a time when Jesus takes his seat and says, it's time to call the question. So you are free to believe, and I believe it myself, that it was actually Jesus who took his seat there on that judgment seat. And Pilate has to make a decision. It has come to this. Pilate, you will either confess him to be king and pay the price, or you will hand him over to be crucified and pay the price. And Jesus is seated and he is waiting for you and me to answer. You say, I am a king. Am I your king? You can't have the world and have my kingdom. You have to choose. You can't tip your hat to the people in power, to the politicians or the boss at work, or and think you can still tip your hat to me. You've got to choose. Jesus is seated now. The judgment bench is in place. How will you answer? Pilate answers. He doesn't even say it out loud. It's just implicit in what he does. With that, it says, he handed Jesus over to be crucified. I hope that's not your choice. I hope that's not my choice. But brothers and sisters, this sacred drama is before all of us. It's not just about Pilate 2,000 years ago. You and I are in this drama. We are Pilate. Jesus is now seated on the judge's bench, and he's asked you a question. He's asked me a question. Am I a king? You say I am, but are you just saying what other people say, or do you really mean it yourself? Answer him. I don't know about you, but I have to say, Lord, help. Because I still sometimes feel like I'm in and out with Pilate, in and out, in and out. All we can do is get on our knees and say, Lord, have mercy on me. I try to decide for you every day, and sometimes I fall short. But Lord, help me to understand that more and more you can lead me on that path where more and more I can really say, not playing games anymore, but really say, you're my king. More and more I'll have the courage to say no when the world demands that I make compromises. I'll say no, Jesus is my king. I'll be willing to take the cut in salary. I'll be willing to lose the job. I'll be willing to let go of some friendships that are harmful. I'll be willing to pay the price more and more to be criticized, laughed at, scorned, called names. Lord, little by little, keep me leading me. I don't want to be like Pilate in and out. I'm in a drama and I have a decision to make. And in the end, I can have the world and its and popularity and power and possessions, or I can have you and the whole kingdom of heaven. Lord, please, I'm begging you, Lord, help me. Every day to more and more choose you over the world. For most of us, it's going to be a process. I can say, little by little, I'm a witness. I have more courage today to speak out for Jesus Christ than I've ever had before. I've got a ways to go. I'm not what I want to be, but thank you, Jesus, I'm not what I used to be. I have more courage, more strength. I have more capacity to speak out. Brothers and sisters, we're getting ready to try to evangelize. And if you go out and really evangelize, expect to get it with both barrels. Are you willing? Are you willing to go to your family and friends? They'll raise their eyebrows, they'll cross their arms, and they'll say, there you go again. Are they your king, or is Jesus? We're going to knock on some doors and people may yell at us and give it to us with both barrels about how bad the Catholic Church is. Who knows? We may get some wonderful experiences. Some of us will walk these streets. All of you will go back into your family. Will they be your king? Or will Jesus? And that's the question. Lord, give me the courage. Give me the strength. Because I'm in a sacred drama. And I'm free to choose, but I'm not free not to choose. Increasingly, Lord, I have to decide that you really are the king of my life. And increasingly, I have to obey you. Increasingly, I have to be willing to pay the price of obeying you. And it won't always be easy. And there'll be wonderful joys too. Lord, help me to move beyond lip service and somebody else's faith, and just slogans that say you're king. And help me, Lord, to really have you be the king of my life so that I can sing that old gospel hymn. Yes, I know Jesus for myself. Not because someone else said so, but I know you for myself as my king. Thank you, Lord. I know you now for myself. Amen.